Welcome to the America's Workforce Radio Podcast, the flagship production of the American Workers Radio and Podcast Network, where organized labor and its never-ending fight to protect the rights of the American worker come first. Now, presented by LIUNA, Laborers International Union of North America, here's your host, Ed Flash Ferens.
Now, pay cuts for state workers, civil unrest affecting the AFL-CIO building in Washington, the one OSHA violation. And today on the show, the latest from the Ohio Labor Federation and former Ohio Attorney General Richard Cordray. Good afternoon and welcome to the Tuesday, June 2nd edition of America's Workforce. We're recorded right here in Cleveland, Ohio for workers all across America. You can find us online, awfradio.com. You can also listen to the show wherever you stream podcasts, iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, iHeartRadio, just some examples there. All right, we have two featured guests on the show today, this being the first Tuesday of the month that goes to Timothy Berga, the president of the Ohio Labor Federation, OhioAFLCIO.com. We were talking about him last week on the show. He did a op-ed piece in the Plain Dealer. I'm sure it hit other papers throughout the state, dealing with the COVID-19 situation, and he pointed out a couple of things which we're going to talk about on the show today. He said the DeWine administration, which he has had high marks for, has provided rules and procedures that seek to balance the need to revive the economy with the need to keep us safe from the virus. Unfortunately, there are employers either not aware of the workplace requirements and protocols who are disregarding them. So Tim is of the opinion that the administration needs to crack down on these employers. Secondly, granting blanket immunity for healthcare providers and businesses from liability as proposed in the General Assembly, not necessary and irresponsible, especially in this environment. And he also pointed out, and this is something we talk about on the show, have the workers give their point of view. They're on the front lines. They know what's going on. They know what's right. They know what's wrong. Their voices must be included. He's also going to talk about the unemployment compensation here in Ohio. And on a national level, we'll talk about the endorsement of Joe Biden to become the next president. And I'm sure he'll have some thoughts and words about the civil unrest. I have a story about the AFL-CIO headquarters in Washington that was vandalized over the weekend. Our second guest is Rich Cordray. You remember him. He was Ohio's attorney general. Then he was appointed by President Obama to head the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. And during his tenure, that bureau returned over $12 billion to 30 million Americans, handled 1.3 million consumer complaints that resolved many individual problems, and adopted new rules to safeguard the mortgage market, which was a train wreck in the financial crisis of 2008 going through 2009. He is now author of a book called Watchdog, which was released in March. Bad time to release a book, right? And it's all about consumer protection and the role and importance of the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. And this is one agency the Republicans did not like from the get-go. They like their, well, obviously they get a lot of money from big businesses who kind of push the envelope a little bit. You take a look at all the banks, what they did, creating the financial mess of 12 years ago. Rich, by the way, has argued 7 cases before the U.S. Supreme Court, including by special appointment of both Presidents Clinton and Bush during the Justice Department's. Very, very brilliant guy. I always laugh, too, because I believe he was a 5-time Jeopardy winner. There's not too many people in that category. So Rich Cordray will be joining us as our second guest right here on America's Workforce. Well, you probably saw this one coming. Pay cuts. More than 16,000 state employees will see their pay docked next fiscal year by the equivalent of 10 full workdays. Governor DeWine's administration said Monday as it works to fill a $2.5 billion budget hole stemming from COVID-19. The pay cuts, which were announced by the Ohio Office of Budget and Management Director Kim Murniex, are the equivalent of a 3.8% pay cut for the state's non-union employees. Got that? This is for the non-union employees. DeWine's cabinet directors, who are among the state's highest paid employees, will see their pay drop by 4%. The state is also approaching its employee unions, which represent about 35,000 more state employees, asking for them to share cost-cutting suggestions by the middle of this month. Murniex said the DeWine administration will seek legislative approval to extend a freeze on employee pay and step increases through next year, fiscal 2021, which runs through next June. A state hiring freeze, besides those directly dealing with responding to COVID-19, will remain in place. So, again, you probably saw that coming. The AFL-CIO headquarters, Rich Trumka, posted this last night. Rich, of course, the president of the Labor Federation. He writes, "My heart is heavy at the events of the past few days. I watched the video of George Floyd pleading for his life under the knee of a Minneapolis police officer. No person of conscience can hear Floyd's cries for help and not understand that something is deeply wrong in America. What happened to George Floyd? What happened to Ahmaud Arbery? What happened to far too many unarmed people of color has happened for centuries. The difference is now we have cell phones. It's there for all of us to see, and we can't turn our heads and look away because we feel uncomfortable. Racism plays an insidious role in the daily lives of all working people of color. This is a labor issue because it's a workplace issue. It is a community issue, and unions are the community. We must and will continue to fight for reforms in policing and to address issues of racial and economic inequality. We categorically reject those on the fringes who are engaging in violence and destroying property. Attacks like the one on the AFL-CIO headquarters are senseless, disgraceful, and only play into the hands of those who have oppressed workers of color for generations and detract from the peaceful, passionate protesters who are rightly bringing issues of racism to the forefront. In the end, the labor movement is not a building. We are a living collection of working people who will never stop fighting for economic, social, and racial justice. We are united unequivocally against the forces of hate who seek to divide this nation for their own personal and political gain at our expense. We will clean up the glass, sweep away the ashes, and keep doing our part to bring a better day out of this hour of darkness and despair. Today and always, the important work of the AFL-CIO continues unabated." That's posted on the Labor Federation website, AFLCIO.org. Yesterday on the show, we were talking about OSHA with Mark Grunberg, our labor writer. And Bloomberg Law is reporting that the first known coronavirus citation that happened during the pandemic was at a nursing home. There's 5,000 pandemic-related complaints filed with the agency. And OSHA has opened about 403 inspections, but only one citation happened at a Georgia-based nursing home. And you know the nursing homes are under the microscope right now. This is a nursing home called Winder Nursing. They were fined $6,504 for a record-keeping violation after the home failed to alert OSHA to the hospitalization of six employees with COVID-19. So the workers are in the hospital with the virus, and they don't tell anybody, like the federal government, which is monitoring these kind of things. This has got the attention of the House Education and Labor Subcommittee, where Representative Alma Adams accused OSHA of being invisible during the greatest public health crisis in the agency's 50-year history. The agency also faces a lawsuit by the AFL-CIO for failing to impose binding workplace safety standards. And under the direction of Eugene Scalia in the Labor Department, he wants businesses to self-inspect. You know they don't have very many inspectors. Just watch yourself. Don't do anything wrong. It's not right. Maybe we'll come after you. Yesterday marked the end of Amazon workers' $2 hourly hazard pay bonus. The reduction comes in spite of Amazon's record-shattering profits in recent months, which catapulted their CEO, Jeff Bezos' fortune to $146 billion. Not bad, huh? The change also defies concerns over continued lack of safety at Amazon's facilities, for which the companies continue to refuse to release numbers on COVID-19 infections. Taking matters into their own hands, Amazon employees have themselves counted around 1,079 COVID-19 cases as of May 20th, including 6 deaths. Nonetheless, Bezos himself has largely dismissed worries over workplace safety as well as continued allegations of retaliatory discharge against pro-union workers. Yeah, they marched him right out the door, and then they shamed him. They shamed him. So no hazard pay bonus as of yesterday for Amazon workers. All right, we have to take a break. You're listening to America's Workforce. Our segment with Tim Berga of the Ohio Labor Federation coming up next.
You're listening to America's Workforce with Ed Flash Ferens.
LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, is the most progressive, aggressive, and fastest growing union of construction workers, and one of the most diverse and effective unions representing public service employees. LIUNA members are on the forefront of the construction industry, a sector that is a powerhouse of 12 million workers producing 5% of our country's economic output. A half million strong. We're united through collective bargaining agreements which help us earn family-supporting pay, good benefits, and the opportunity for advancement and better lives. With Mobile Action LIUNA, you can get updates on your cell phone, find out how to sign petitions, and download union ringtones. Be a part of your union's political and organizing efforts by sending a text message on your cell phone with the word LIUNA to the number 69866. Through the LIUNA Action Network, you can stay informed about your union with a one-minute update and action alerts.
Hire union musicians. Call Music Talent of Cleveland at 216-881-1802. Call Music Talent of Cleveland as your dependable source for professional musicians in Northeast Ohio. Union musicians add harmony to weddings, elegance to parties, and uplifting music for all events. Music Talent of Cleveland contracts solo and ensemble musicians as well as bands and orchestras for single engagements. So hire union musicians. Call Music Talent of Cleveland today. 216-881-1802.
Now, back to Ed Flash Ferens with America's Workforce.
Good afternoon and welcome back to America's Workforce, recorded here in Cleveland, Ohio, for workers all across America. Once again, you can listen to the show, any show we do, wherever you stream podcasts, iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, iHeartRadio, just some examples. And once again, we ask you to subscribe to our podcast and give us a rating, and we would certainly appreciate a 5-star rating on that. Yeah, we are coast to coast here on America's Workforce. You can find us online, too, awfradio.com. This next segment brought to you in part by the United Labor Agency. They connect people with work. In fact, Dave Meganhart will be on the show tomorrow, ulagency.org. Right now, let's go to line number one. Welcome one of our regulars, Tim Berga, president of the Ohio AFL-CIO. You can find them online at ohioaflcio.com. Tim Berga, welcome back to the show. Thanks for joining us here on America's Workforce once again.
And thank you for having me.
Last week, we were talking with Bill Samuel, and we hit this pretty hard about the Workers' First Caravan that was supposed to happen tomorrow. And the whole idea here was to advance the passage of the HEROES Act, which is a stimulus bill passed in the House that would really help workers, help on the multi-employer pensions. We're talking off the air here. Because of the civil unrest due to the murder of George Floyd, that's not going to happen? Is that the case?
That's correct. We're still applying pressure to get the HEROES Act passed through the Senate. No surprise here, Flash. The obstacle is Mitch McConnell. But the House passed the HEROES Act, which does a number of things, one of which provides much-needed state and local government funding. And Republicans, Democrats alike would like to see additional state and local government funding, but we're going to have massive, massive layoffs and services denied here in the state of Ohio. So we're trying to get that bill passed. It also would provide relief for private pension plans, hazard pay for essential workers, extending additional unemployment compensation and other benefits for workers. So there's a lot of things in the HEROES Act that we're trying to get through. The House passed it. The Senate needs to do its job now. So, of course, Senator Sherrod Brown has been on the front line supporting getting the bill passed and pushing Mitch McConnell in the right direction. So we were going to have these caravans all over the country, and because of we don't want to dilute the message right now with the civil protests, and it's just not feasible to do caravans. So the caravans all over the country are being postponed this week, and we'll bring them back up when we can.
Yeah, yeah. The whole idea here was to get the rank and file union members to speak up. And to use that momentum to get people like Mitch McConnell to change their mind on this. Yeah, we were talking yesterday with our labor writer about this, Mark Gruenberg. And apparently, it's slowly getting to Mitch. He wants to do a watered-down bill, which... So at first he said, no way. It wasn't even, he didn't even want to consider it. So if we keep the pressure on him, but the timing now, not good. Did you hear about the AFL-CIO headquarters in Washington? Fire in the building on that? What do we know about it right now?
Yeah, well, it's one block away from Lafayette Park, which is across the street from the White House. And there was damage there at the AFL-CIO headquarters. It's right next to the St. John's Church, if anybody saw that ridiculous stunt by the president yesterday holding up the Bible and tear gassing and rubber bullets on protesters to clear the way so he could go across the street and hold the Bible up. In front of a closed church. But anyhow, the AFL-CIO building is right next to that. So it's right in the mix. And, you know, it's people are angry right now. And we are, too, in the labor movement. So, people are seeking justice. I feel good that Keith Ellison, the attorney general of Minnesota, is on the case. He's the lead person that's going to be overseeing the prosecution of those that are charged. So we'll see how the rest of the week here unfolds.
Yeah, yeah. All right, let's switch up to your op-ed piece last week. And I saw it in the Plain Dealer. Let me ask you, did it make any other newspapers about you're talking about what needs to be done to protect workers here, well, in Ohio? Just wondering, did the Dispatch in Columbus pick up or the Cincinnati Inquirer pick up that op-ed piece?
Well, typically we try to find one paper that'll run it, and then other outlets will pick it up in some form. Mm-hmm. So I'm not sure where else it went. I did send it along to all of our labor councils across the state, and some of them used it for letters to the editors and things like that.
Okay. Well, let's kind of recap it for our listeners right now. I mean, there's a couple of things that I want to call attention to. And you've pretty much said DeWine was doing a pretty good job here in Ohio. I mean, the polling indicates he's moving the needle in the right direction. But let's start right there because, what he's saying and the results of that, he wants employers to have a safe workplace. But apparently... some of them are not following the rules and the procedures, and maybe he needs to be a little stronger on that. Let's start right there. What's at play here, Tim?
Yeah, I do think the governor is doing a good job. And, most of the employers want to do the right thing, and when you have employers who are not doing the right thing or don't want to do the right thing, it hurts everybody, including the good employers. So, what we're saying is, there are rules in place that need to be posted visibly at each workplace. In this business that if a workplace is unsafe, Flash, a worker shouldn't have to be forced to go there. I mean, that's uh-huh. something the labor movement's been fighting for since the inception of the labor movement. So when we know that a workplace isn't safe, what really got me was when the Ohio Department of Job and Family Services said they're going to start asking employers to report workers who don't show up to work when they're scheduled to work, and we're going to deny them unemployment benefits, or at least get a, you know, get a hearing to deny it. And there are what I've said in the op-ed and what I've said elsewhere is there are justifiable reasons why people might not be able to get called back to work, one of which is you've got little children at home and, you've got schools and camps and daycare closed. You know, don't make them choose between, you know, straining their kid at home and, going into work. And the other is, you know, if the workplace is, not safe and if a worker has predisposed conditions, conditions that are outlined by the Center for Disease and Control that make them susceptible to the, COVID virus, yeah, there has to be, you know, an understanding and a process here, not just a big gotcha. So I think they've kind of pulled back on that a little bit. But our number one concern is, and look, Flash, we've been on the front lines delivering the essential work from day one.
Right.
These are low wage, medium wage, you know, all types of workers, first responders, grocery workers, healthcare workers, you name it. We've been out there from day one doing our job as we always do. We just want protected and we want to be supported financially. So our health and our safety and our economic well-being is our priority. And in part, that's what those caravans were about as well and why the HEROES Act was so important. It's all linked together.
Right, right. And then there's the General Assembly that wants to give pretty much, what, blanket immunity to anybody that may face a lawsuit if they send somebody to work and they get sick? Talk to me about that part, Tim.
Yeah, right. What I wrote in the op-ed was, you know, we were heroes 1 minute and called essential. Now you want to consider us expendable. And
right.
What I mean by that is you can't use a crisis as an opportunity to get additional tort reforms in the state of Ohio. We've had enough tort reform over the years, as you know. We need to make sure we're protecting our workers and our citizens from bad actors, right? So don't take the crisis and try to make some big blanket immunity bill. So to the House's credit, we didn't support the bill, but they got us the neutrals because they changed originally the scope of the bill. There was no end date on it. It was too broad. The burden of proof from a claimant was too high. The thresholds were way out of line. So the House made a number of big concessions in that area, and the bill passed with a lot of with bipartisan support. And the most important thing for us is the entirety of the bill expires on December 31st. 2020. So it truly is, you know, focused on COVID related matters. And now the Senate's going to have to take it up. But that's the challenge we're in right now, Flash, is that, you know, workers are delivering us through this crisis and workers have to be the number one priority coming out of it. And we take care of workers, that takes care of business.
Right, right. I like what you said in the op-ed. We should not create an environment that rewards the irresponsible few, and it's just a few, at the expense of the majority who are acting responsibly. Really, really good point there. You know, the other part, too, is about workers' voices, and, this goes way back, way before COVID-19. Workers need to have a louder voice. Maybe you could pick up on that part. Because that is so, these are the people that are on the front line. They know what's wrong. They see what's wrong. They hear what's wrong. And they're getting sick. And they're not being heard. That is a real problem with me. I'm sure it's a big problem with you and for labor in general. Maybe you could touch on that briefly for us.
Well, let's hope this is a tipping point. As hard as it is in the Trump administration to unionize now because they've changed so many rules at the National Labor Relations Board. Let's hope this is a tipping point where workers understand that their voice is stronger together. What we've seen in this crisis is union workers, they have a place to go. They know how to talk to the employer in a collective process. So we're seeing ununionized, non-unionized workers. They don't really know where to turn when the employer is telling them to do something unsafe And let's hope now that they understand that they do have rights, but they've got to band together and they've got to take that first step of collective action and looking to form a union. So whether you're in a union or not, it's a very difficult time right now, but you have much more protections. You have much more of a voice when you're in a collective bargaining unit, and that's very, very noticeable during this crisis.
Absolutely. Saw a good posting on Facebook over the weekend. The only problem with unions, we don't have enough of them. That was a good one. I had to share that one. That was a really, really good one. One more question here. I know you want to talk about the endorsement of Joe Biden. Are we making any headway with the unemployment compensation system? I know it was burdened here because so many people filed. They couldn't get through. What's the latest on that, Tim?
No, the system's overwhelmed. You know, the system probably needs modernized. The workers are doing their level best, and they're borrowing workers from other departments and agencies. But it's just, you know, it depends on who you talk to and what day of the week it is, right?
Yeah.
What I do know is if folks are having trouble getting their unemployment compensation or getting questions answered or even filing, I did hear that contact your Democratic state house legislator. They become experts on the system and how to proceed. And I do know firsthand that there was a Democrat legislator over in Eastern Ohio helped somebody that I referred, and that person got him taken care of right away. So I'm not exactly sure what he did or said, but part of it is just not knowing, you know, how to proceed in the process. And
sure,
sometimes it's good to have somebody that, you know, is in the General Assembly that can maybe guide you. So I was very pleased that the Democrats in the House told me to tell folks that. But the system's not getting better. I do think that everybody's going to get their compensation, whether it's timely or not is another question.
Yeah. All right, one more here. Joe Biden, he's been endorsed by the Labor Federation. Maybe we could talk on that briefly. It came a little bit earlier. He's not even nominated at the convention yet, but which is going to happen, well, maybe virtually, I don't know. But I guess, Tim, we could say this is a no-brainer. What do you think?
Yeah, I think so. You know, 4 years ago, you know, there was a lot of turmoil inside the labor movement, you know, on who to endorse, right? Right now, there's no turmoil. And a number of major unions inside the AFL-CIO have endorsed Joe Biden. So the national AFL-CIO body did endorse Joe Biden last Tuesday. And, you know, with me, I start with, you know, with Donald Trump. He promised to bring manufacturing and coal and coal-fired power plants back to the state of Ohio. Now, say what you want to say about coal and coal-fired power plants. He hasn't brought one job back. And he hasn't we've lost jobs in manufacturing. So all these promises, whether he meant to do it or not, he hasn't been able to deliver. And he has betrayed the workers in the state of Ohio. So, you know, we're going to go around the state. We're going to do it virtually this month. We're going to have a dozen regional meetings with local union leaders talking about the endorsement of Joe Biden and the political program. And I'm looking at the Trump record on workers, and there are 20 major policy things that he's done that are either anti-worker or anti-union. 20 flash, and that wasn't hard to find. I'm talking about rules at the National Labor Relations Board. I'm talking about cutting OSHA workers to their lowest level in the history of the agency. I'm talking about executive actions, litigation, not enforcing the overtime pay as one example. 20 flash of major things that we're going to be pointing out, and it's so many sometimes you worry it maybe just kind of gets people get kind of numb to it. So we start there that Donald Trump is not able to deliver, and then take the COVID the virus and the pandemic. He wasn't prepared and he hasn't responded properly, and he's left the governors on their own. Now a lot of governors have responded very well, including ours here in the state of Ohio. So we start there, and then you look at Joe Biden's record, his record in the Senate, his record in the vice president's office, his record for working people. And I'm pleased that he's endorsed by the AFL-CIO and all these unions, and we're going to go out there full-throated and make sure that everybody's getting the word out to the rank and file.
There you go. Yeah, I said this last week with Bill Samuel of the Labor Federation. Joe Biden is one guy who's not afraid to say the word union and be very proud about saying the word union. So good stuff there. Tim, great coverage today. Appreciate what you do for the Labor Federation and the writing that you did in that op-ed piece, which was printed in the Plain Dealer last week. And I'm sure it'll be posted on the Labor Federation website. Good stuff here. On those 20 policy changes, please share that list with me, and we'll talk about it here on America's Workforce, okay?
All right, will do.
Okay, take care. Be safe. We'll talk to you next month. Tim Berga on our live line. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Richard Cordray, former Ohio Attorney General, right here on America's Workforce.
You're listening to America's Workforce with Ed Flash Ferens.
This special message goes out to all veterans and dependents of veterans who are living in Cuyahoga County. The Cuyahoga County Veterans Service Commission proudly provides a wide variety of services and assistance, including the following: filing VA claims, helping obtain disability or widow pensions, assistance obtaining military records, memorial affairs, social work, rent or mortgage assistance, utility bills, food, clothing and hygiene, and VA medical transportation. For more information about these services or your eligibility, call 1-844-405-VETS. That's 1-844-405-8387. Or go online to CuyahogaVets.org. The Cuyahoga County Veterans Service Commission, veterans helping veterans since 1886.
You're listening to America's Workforce, and this next segment brought to you by the North Coast Labor Federation.
You won't find more comprehensive coverage of the issues most important to Ohio's labor trades than in the pages of the Labor Citizen. The full-color tabloid is delivered to thousands of union construction workers each month, providing reports from local unions, interesting feature stories, and news that impacts Ohio's union construction industry. But the only way this valuable monthly publication can be delivered to your mailbox is if your local union decides to join. If your building trades union membership is not receiving the Labor Citizen, ask why at your next regular meeting or send an email to info@laborcitizen.com.
America's Workforce Radio is sponsored in part by the International Union of Painters and Allied Trades, District Council 6, representing painters, glazers, drywall finishers, and sign and display industry workers. They remind you that belonging to a union is your right as an American.
Now, back to America's Workforce. Here's Ed Flash Ferens.
Once again, welcome back to America's Workforce, recorded here in Cleveland, Ohio, for workers across America. You can find us online, awfradio.com, and you can listen to the show wherever you stream podcasts, iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, iHeartRadio, just to mention a few. By the way, this next segment brought to you in part by the Ohio Federation of Teachers. You can find them online at OFT-AFT.org. Let's go to line number two, and we used to have this guy on a regular basis every month when he was Ohio's Attorney General, Richard Cordray. He had that job for a couple of years. Then he was appointed by President Obama to be the first director of the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. Richard Cordray, welcome back to America's Workforce. Thanks for joining us today.
Glad to be with you, Flash.
He's also author of Watchdog, which was released in March of this year about consumer protection. You know, your timing was a little bit off on that one, Richard.
Yeah, right in the middle of a pandemic.
What happened?
It just started.
Go ahead.
My book tour got about one third of the stops in and then had to screech to a halt. So
yeah.
That was unfortunate.
Very unfortunate. Hey, I know you want to talk about your book. I know you want to talk about consumer protection and all that. Let me ask, you ran against Mike DeWine in 2018. You almost pulled it off, And now DeWine is getting some pretty high marks for the way he is handling the virus and the pandemic here in the state of Ohio. Just looking at that, I'd like to get your thoughts. How do you feel about the job that he's doing? Would you do anything differently? Your thoughts on that.
Well, on the health side, I think he's done the right thing by listening to the scientists and respecting the evidence on how much of a threat this pandemic is to our families and to social distancing and so forth. There's an economic side of it that's just starting to play out now that's tough on a lot of families that are unemployed and are missing rent or mortgage payments, are potentially missing their auto loan payments. And I think more could be done to help consumers in Ohio, which, of course, is a particular focus of mine. But I think that that's an area of concern.
Yeah, yeah. You got to listen to the people a little bit more. I mean, he is definitely moving the needle in the right direction. I think he surprised a lot of people, including the people that didn't vote for him. So we'll see how it's navigated. You take a look compared to other states. Yeah, he's definitely ahead of the game. So talk to me about your book here, Watchdog. Again, it came out a couple of months ago. What's it all about?
Well, it's about flash consumers, which is all of us. And it's about how we struggle with issues and challenges of consumer finance, which is a much bigger part of our lives. As I looked at the history of this and the background, it's really just been the last two generations that people have had so much credit available to them, which is a great opportunity, but it also poses a lot of risks. And that's on mortgages and credit cards and student loans and auto loans. Where people now owe much more per person than ever before, and they have to think carefully about how they go about making their purchases and financing them over time. The book talks about the story of the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, the CFPB, and what it's done to protect consumers, what we did under my leadership there, and how important it is to try to make government work for middle-class families across America at a time when a lot of people think the system is rigged and it only really works for those at the very top.
Yeah, let me ask you about the Financial Protection Bureau. I know they watered it down. It is in operation right now, scaled back. What's the status of it?
Yeah, it's in operation. It's under different leadership, and as has often happened with the current administration, the leadership is not as friendly to the mission of the agency as it was certainly under my leadership. They've been less aggressive to protect consumers. They've been more friendly to financial companies. But at the same time, the agency is still there. It still works in certain respects, and it's been not aggressive enough in other respects. So it's kind of a mixed bag right now. Under different leadership, I believe that it, again, will fulfill its mission satisfactorily.
I gotcha. So the structure is still in place. It's just the enforcement of what's going on.
That's correct.
Is that pretty much?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's correct. Just as different officials come and go in other positions, sometimes they're more aggressive, sometimes they're less aggressive. The same is true here, and there certainly has been a tilt toward the financial companies and away from the average consumer and family.
Yeah, yeah. It's just like the law, and you know this because you're a lawyer. I mean, the law can be interpreted one way. It can also be interpreted another way. So it's very similar.
The law
to that.
Itself is basically words on a piece of paper, and then it matters how it's enforced. It matters whether people take it seriously. The same is true of labor law. It's supposed to protect the right to organize, but depending on who's in charge, they may or may not take that seriously, and they may or may not back it up.
Yeah, exactly. Well, when you were in charge of the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, you returned, this is amazing to me, over $12 billion, billion, to 30 million Americans, and you handled 1.3 million consumer complaints. And this was during a pretty short time, was it not?
Yeah, it was over a six-year period.
Okay.
And what it showed was that when this agency took effect, there were a lot of problems in the financial marketplace. There are a lot of problems that consumers couldn't easily address on their own. And very often when you got stuck and you felt cheated or mistreated, you just had to kind of swallow it and absorb it and take your lumps. But this new agency was able to stand up for people, stand on their side, look over the shoulders of these companies and hold them accountable, which was a very good rebalancing of the marketplace, because the big, powerful financial companies that are used to having their way have not been used to having someone looking over their shoulder and holding their feet to the fire, which is what we were doing.
Yeah, yeah. They were a runaway freight train during this financial mess back in 2008. Now, prior to that, you served as Ohio's Attorney General, and you recovered over $2 billion, again, $2 billion for Ohio's retirees, investors, and business owners. What was that all about? Can you refresh me on that one?
Sure. In the wake of the financial crisis of 2008, we felt that Ohio taxpayers and Ohio pension funds had been hurt by some of these egregious practices on Wall Street, kind of plundering the pension systems with their fraudulent schemes and irresponsible lending. And so we brought a lot of lawsuits against them, my predecessor and I, and we brought back a lot of money for Ohio as a result. And that was really creating a reckoning for some of the Wall Street firms that had been so casual about the financial marketplace across America. And it led to all the unemployment and all the foreclosures that we certainly suffered more than our share of in Ohio.
Gotcha. So all this experience is kind of what Watchdog is all about. Maybe we could get into more specifics on that. So what you learned in your role, I mean, you were also treasurer, Ohio Attorney General, director of the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. I mean, there's a lot there that you did. Did you take all that knowledge and kind of like put it in the book? Is that what this was all about?
Yeah, it definitely was the story of how what a mismatch it can be between the big financial industry and the average family across the country, and how we tried to fix that by rebalancing the marketplace so that people had a voice and had a chance and had a fair shake for a change, which is frankly what we all deserve, but we often don't get what we deserve.
Gotcha. All right. Can you stay with us for another segment here?
Sure will.
Good. Richard Cordray, who served for 6 years as first director of the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, also served as Ohio Attorney General. And he's going to talk more about his book, Watchdog, which was released in March, about consumer protection and the role and importance of the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. It's all part of America's Workforce. Back in a few minutes. Don't go away.
This is America's Workforce. More shows available at awfradio.com.
LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, is the most progressive, aggressive, and fastest-growing union of construction workers, and one of the most diverse and effective unions representing public service employees. LIUNA members are on the forefront of the construction industry, a sector that is a powerhouse of 12 million workers producing 5% of our country's economic output. A half million strong. We're united through collective bargaining agreements which help us earn family-supporting pay, good benefits, and the opportunity for advancement and better lives. With Mobile Action LIUNA, you can get updates on your cell phone, find out how to sign petitions, and download union ringtones. Be a part of your union's political and organizing efforts by sending a text message on your cell phone with the word LIUNA to the number 69866. Through the LIUNA Action Network, you can stay informed about your union with a one-minute update and action alerts.
America's Workforce is being brought to you in part by the Communication Workers of America.
Part union newsletter, part industry trade magazine. The Labor Citizen provides the most comprehensive coverage of the issues that matter to the hard-working members of Ohio's labor trades. Building trades unions that subscribe to the Labor Citizen guarantee their members receive a monthly report crafted by their own union leaders, along with interesting feature stories and news relevant to Ohio's union construction industry. The full-color tabloid is already being delivered to active and retired members from nearly 50 different building trade unions. You won't find more comprehensive coverage of the news and issues important to Ohio's labor trades anywhere. And the only way you can have this valuable monthly publication delivered to your mailbox is if your local union decides to join. If your building trades union is not receiving the Labor Citizen, ask why at your next regular meeting. Or send an email to info@laborcitizen.com for more information. That email address again is info@laborcitizen.com.
Now, back to Ed Flash Ferens with America's Workforce.
Once again, welcome back to America's Workforce, recorded here in Cleveland, Ohio. For workers all across America, you can listen to this show wherever you stream podcasts, iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, iHeartRadio. And once again, We ask that you subscribe to our podcast. Give us a 5-star rating. We would certainly appreciate that. And that would be you, Mr. Cordray. We have Richard Cordray on our live line, who has served for 6 years as the first director of the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, also Ohio Attorney General, and also treasurer. Spent a lot of time here in Ohio, and he's out with his book, Watchdog, which came out right when the pandemic started. So let's start right there. How are you promoting this book right now? Because, I mean, you mentioned in the first segment here, it was just like you're getting ready to go, and then boom, it's like the rug was pulled out from under you. How's that going? I know you want to get everybody to read this thing, but what's the task right there, Richard?
Well, certainly it's been a challenge, and one of the things that everybody's doing is they're doing a lot of events online through Zoom and Google Hangouts and all these other platforms. So I've been doing my share of those. I did a Seattle Town Hall event out in the state of Washington. They got picked up by C-SPAN. So there's various ways to try to get the word out. But it is certainly unexpected what has happened. At the same time, Flash, what's happened here is the pandemic has created a brand new economic crisis that none of us saw coming. And that is creating a lot of the same problems for consumers that we saw in 2010, 2011 when the CFPB first started to operate. People are behind on their payments. They're being dunned by debt collectors. They're having trouble keeping up with their bills. They're having credit reporting problems. And it's a lot of the same issues that we saw during the last financial crisis that are being repeated. So it makes the book in many ways all the more relevant, kind of eerily relevant to the current crisis, which right now is still in its early stages.
Yeah, it's interesting you bring that up because you hear a lot of the folks on the talk show circuit talking about what happened in the Great Recession versus now. Now, the banks, the big money lenders were the ones that kind of caused that. They went on override. This one is different, though. This is a health crisis, but it's also impacting workers in the same way. They're losing their jobs. Maybe you could speak to that part of it. It's there's a dynamic there. Maybe you can get into some details. What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, well, economic crises are caused by very different beginning points. In 2008, 2009, it was mortgage problems, irresponsible lending. A lot of it, as you say, originated on Wall Street and with the big banks, and it really crashed the economy. Back in 2001, it was the dot-com bubble in investing. Now it's the pandemic. So there's lots of different causes, and that can change the trajectory of an economic downturn. But in the end, they all have a lot of the same issues, which are once people become unemployed, people don't have money coming into their households, and they're in a bad way. This has been masked a little bit this spring because the unemployment bonuses, if you're able to get unemployment, and of course it's been a challenge getting through on those phone lines and getting qualified for benefits, has helped, some households weather the storm. But if unemployment, which started at 3.5% back in February, and now is somewhere between 15 and 20% and is projected to still be at 8 to 10% at the end of 2021, that's going to be a lot of distress for households across the country. And that is why people need consumer protections more than ever. They need them the most when they have the most problems. And they're going to have problems because of the unemployment. That's the common denominator in all of these economic crises. And it creates real pressure for households to be able to keep up with their obligations.
So, Richard, would you classify your book as kind of like a guide to get us through this pandemic financially? Is that a good way of looking at this?
Yeah, I think it's a guide both for consumers who confront a lot of similar problems. And by the way, very often don't realize that the problems they face they tend to think they're unique. They're the only one who has this problem. It tends to be sort of embarrassing to them that they're, you know, being harassed by debt collectors, or that they can't get credit. They're being cut off because of something in their credit file. And what you find is that, in fact, often millions of Americans are suffering from the same problems. And there are some certain common approaches people can use to try to address those problems. At the same time, it's a how-to guide for state and federal officials around the country who have the responsibility for looking out for consumers and giving you the protections that you need and helping support you, especially in times of crisis. And I think the book Watchdog provides a good roadmap for how people should handle those responsibilities as well.
Yeah. We have a little over 4 minutes left. If you can give me an example of a situation, say, okay, I'm going to use myself. I'm Ed Flash Ferentz. I was working in a retail establishment for maybe 25 years, and all of a sudden the doors close, and I don't have any recourse. I'm just trying to get my unemployment compensation. Rent is due, mortgages, whatever, but I'm in a pickle. I got to do something. What's your advice? How do I approach that?
Well, I think that if you think you're being cheated or mistreated by a financial company, you should file a complaint with the CFPB. It's easy enough to do on the website at consumerfinance.gov, a story that just came up yesterday. A friend of mine who used to work at the Bureau, he had a colleague who had a problem with one of the big banks, and they couldn't get any relief. You know, they were being ignored. They were being given the runaround. They filed a complaint with the CFPB, and within 30 days, the complaint had been resolved. The bank credited them with the $3,500 that had been at issue in the complaint, some fraudulent issues that the person had not expected. And they got relief. In the book, I tell a story about a young man and his father. He was a service member, and like many service members, first time away from home, first time managing his own finances. And those people are ripe targets for a lot of high-cost extortionate lenders who want to take their money because they have a guaranteed paycheck from the U.S. government. He got into a fraudulent car loan that ended up costing him 70% of his take-home pay. There was nothing that could be done about it because he had signed the paperwork, even though there were undisclosed fees and misleading add-on charges. His father filed a complaint with the Bureau, with the CFPB, and ended up getting his money back, and got money back for 50,000 other service members who'd been treated similarly, but each of them didn't know that they were part of a pattern for this lending chain across the country. And that was a great example of how the CFPB was able to not only address issues for individual consumers, but also find patterns and investigate and affect the financial companies who were exploiting a whole bunch of consumers in the same way. You know, if a financial company makes $50 or $100 off of you, and they do the same with 50,000 other customers, which was the number at issue in that enforcement action, it's a lot of money to the bank. You may or may not be able to pursue it on your own.
Yeah. Just because it's happening to you doesn't mean it's just you. I mean, there could be others involved. And you know what comes to what comes to mind is the Wells Fargo case. Remember that one? Where they were creating like bank accounts.
One of the cases I highlighted in the book, where they were opening the phony accounts and using people's bank account information to make their own bonuses at people's expense. That was one of the most outrageous things people have seen in the banking industry in many years, and yet they got away with it for quite a long time before the CFPB came along and worked with the LA city attorney and some others to resolve the issue.
Good stuff. It's all contained in the book Watchdog. It was released a couple of months ago. Richard Cordray, Ohio's former attorney general on a live line. So I take it the book is on Amazon and all that stuff. And slowly but surely, it's getting picked up here in this pandemic, I take it?
That's right. Wherever books are sold, you can find Watchdog by Rich Cordray.
Okay, real good. So this is your next career here. Author, former attorney general. Head of the first of the Financial Protection Bureau, also a father of twins. So good stuff. You keep safe, Richard. Keep in touch with us, and And we appreciate you here on America's Workforce. So thanks for joining us today.
All right, always good to talk to you.
All right. That's it for another edition of America's Workforce. Coming up tomorrow, we have the Finishing Contractors Association on pensions and the latest from the ULA, the United Labor Agency. Until then, all of you have a safe and wonderful day.
That concludes another episode of the America's Workforce Radio Podcast. Thanks for listening, and be sure to subscribe so you never miss a show. America's Workforce is a production of Labor Tools and BMA Media Group. Find out more information online at labortools.com.